Hello and welcome back to America Weekend. I'm Valerie Smaldone. Art is a very personal expression. How artwork attracts a following, what it does to the viewer, how it captures imagination, it's all very ethereal when you think about it. I want to introduce you to artist Robert Sinadella, an acclaimed artist and teacher. And in the last 20 years, he's amassed a great deal of praise internationally, as well as inclusion in many public and private collections. Here in New York City, his renowned mural of the original Le Cirque restaurant is at the new location of Le Cirque on East 58th Street. And now there's a film out about this man and his work called Art Bastard. Robert, welcome to America Weekend.
Hi there. Thank you.
I have to say, this is a great title for the film. It really grabs your attention.
Well, it certainly does. And if you see the film, you would realize that it does have a kind of a double meaning, like a lot of my paintings. I'm a bastard in the art world as well in real life.
Well, you seem lovely to me, by the way, so I would never call you that in the moments we've already spoken. Tell me about the background of your dealings with galleries, and you say a bastard in the art world. What happened? Why did this occur for you?
I'm not 100% sure, but I think that my career, which began right after I stopped going to the Art Students League with George Gross, that's in 1959, that's about the time when art was more going to the abstract, to the minimalist, to the, you know, there was a million different isms that were coming up, and figurative art was really put on the back burner, and many great American artists like Reginald Marsh, Thomas Hart Benton were part of a group that just got kind of forgotten about almost overnight, and I'm starting out my career just at that moment.
So timing's everything, isn't it?
Timing is definitely timing is everything.
And yet, you've maintained your status in the art world. You've been a professional artist for all this time, and now there's a film about your life. It's funny how it sort of comes full circle. You're shunned, and yet, because of that, you're interesting, and then a film is made about you, and people will flock to it because of your unique nature.
Well, this is the, you know, my life is a series of oxymorons, ironies, etc., and this is just another one. So for sticking to my guns, more or less, and never, I just couldn't paint for the marketplace. I had to paint for myself, so therefore I couldn't join another ism. I couldn't decide. There are many artists that said, oh, I guess I'll be an abstract artist now. I mean, that's something beyond my comprehension, you know, switching a style of art. So I've been consistent for all these years, and I guess there's it's too bad it's taken 50 years, but I do feel, I feel comfortable in the fact that I did not compromise with my art.
And how would you describe how you create artwork and how you go to a canvas and start? How would you describe this process for yourself?
Well, I'm definitely a traditionalist in the sense that I paint on a canvas. I use an easel. I use brushes. I don't pour my paint out of cans and that kind of thing. So I'm a very traditional artist, but with a contemporary point of view. And I think this is a little confusing to some people because I insist, even with my students, that they at least know what the best materials are, the best kind of canvas. I mean, even simple things like stretching a canvas, which is primed. Okay, there are many artists today that will boast about their painting is on unprimed canvas. Well, what that means is it's going to rot within 100 years. Prime canvas used since the Renaissance is still good. So I would say I approach my work as a traditionalist, but make the sketch in charcoal on every canvas. I then develop it in layers with paint, etc. But I do it in a traditional manner, but the final result is sometimes shocking to some people.
In what way?
Well, because I have my career starts at a time when the manner of painting, when an abstract painting. I have nothing, as I say in my poster that promotes the movie. I say it's not what they show that bothers me; it's what they don't show. And because I came up in this particular period, the abstract art denies you the right, the capacity to paint many things. Like most objects that we see around us, certainly the figure, etc. And I'm a storyteller. I follow in the tradition of Bruegel, Thomas Hart Benton, Reginald Marsh, George Gross, etc. So as a storyteller, that seems unusual to some people today because they say, well, wait a second, I seem out of place because they're used to what they call contemporary art. Now, contemporary art is, I feel I'm a contemporary artist because I'm painting today. But they've created that contemporary art is a certain look, apparently. And I think that's confusing, but it makes no sense to me. So the real point is because I tell a story and you can look at what I do and you don't have to really make something up, you know, what I paint is what you see.
I am speaking with artist Robert Sinadella, who is the subject of a new film called Art Bastard. And Robert, as we talk about the function of art and your particular style and how you approach it, what do you believe is the function of art in your world? How should it be viewed in society?
Well, I'm not going to tell people how to view it or what they should get out of it, of course. But to me, art is a form of communication. So that I will stick pretty much by that simple, for me anyway, that concept is what, to me, what art is about, a form of communication. So that you can't say, you could look at some abstract work and you can come up and say, well, it's what the viewer gets out of it, right? Mm-hmm. But with my work, I could say the same thing. But people, when I did my crucified Santa Claus, people were not really looking at the technique or the, which I think is what made the painting work, but they look at the subject and they were disturbed to see Santa Claus on a cross. And so you can't judge it the same way you do an abstract painting because I have a very definite subject in most of my work.
With this film that has broken and will be around the country soon, what would you like to see happen once people get to know a little bit more about you?
Well, I would hope that people would think of what the poster says. It's not what they show, it's what they don't show. And also, I would like people to look at art without any preconceived idea of, you know, what ism it's in or what to think of contemporary art is art that is being done today, not as a, oh, well, you are kind of in this kind of a area where you sort of don't really understand what's going on. But, you know, if you read what is written about it, they say, oh, now I get it or something. So I really think that I would like a more, a level field, let's say, to view art.
I'm hearing what you'd like to hear happen is just no definitions. Just consume it with no definition.
Absolutely. And you know, I've done these, gone on these film shows that where they show the film to about 100 people, I guess there are film clubs around the country. I've done about 20 of these. And what's interesting is that these clubs don't tell you what you're going to see. Mm-hmm. So the movie and so the reactions is really without any preconceived notion or anything. And that has been, that's how I think people should see art. I think they should go into a museum and not know what the, not to have been told beforehand what it means or what it is. Let them figure it out themselves.
Absolutely. I think that makes the most sense of all. And I want to thank you for your time today, Robert Sinadella. The new film, Art Bastard, based on Robert and his work. Pleasure to have you on America Weekend.
Okay, thank you. It was a pleasure for me to be here.
I'm Valerie Smaldone. This is America Weekend on the Envision Radio Network.
Now, cheap psych tricks with Dr. Buff.
And Dr. Buff here. Where do you get your great ideas? Where do you go for a good think? Well, the answer, it's got to be safe. It's got to be a stress-free environment and one that allows the brain to idle on automatic. Here's the science of it. Abraham Lincoln wrote poetry. The composer Debussy would gaze at his favorite river to find his ideas. The author Dostoevsky doodled. Incidentally, so did John F. Kennedy. Brahms of Brahms' lullaby fame daydreamed, and Gregory House, my hero of the hit TV show, well, he just stares at a whiteboard. What's the chief psychological trick? Good ideas are easy to find if you know where to look. Find a place that's quiet, stress-free, relaxing, great fun, and a place where you can let your mind run wild. Ideas will find their way to you. Got a question? Contact me at drbuff.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 888-359-MY-TV.
Order in the court.
This is Attorney Jay Coleman with the final verdict. In late 2013, the Justice Department collected a record civil fine of $500 million from internet search engine Google for the unlawful sale of prescription drugs. So what, the Google Corporation are drug dealers? How did this happen? The final verdict after this.
The Movie Man 6-second review starts now.
Straight from the 48 Hours playbook, Crow and Gosling aren't Nolte and Murphy, but the nice guys are still good. I'm in.
On June 3rd, The Lonely Island's dope new movie hits theaters. Andy Samberg is Connor for real in Pop Star, Never Stop, Never Stopping, rated R.
So here's the deal. Since 2004, Google has allowed online pharmacies to advertise prescription drugs on their site. The Justice Department put Google on notice every year since then. They say many sites mail customers drugs without a prescription or talking to a doctor. And that's the final verdict.